Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Episode 419, After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close.
Oh, that doesn't look like iced tea in that glass.
Just had to have a little taste tonight, you know.
Sorry, I just crushed a pint.
But anyway, listen, I mean,
half-baked.
I will say this. You got to be pretty proud of the team tonight, even though they lost in overtime and a beautiful goal by the greatest goal scorer in the game right now in Austin Matthews.
Are you kidding me? The biggest opportunist. Guy doesn't do jack shit all night. Then he just fucking shows up on the scoreboard. Give me a break. He was awful tonight.
Well, was he awful?
Lazy.
Or did the team
did nothing
play
all
him?
Game and then gets handed the OT winner. Come on. That was Austin Matthews tonight.
Okay.
That's all I'll say.
I'm not going to sit here and argue with you because, you know, I agree. I do agree that he's not engaged. Like I'm currently, as we are talking right now, I'm talking with, or I'm watching Colorado Avalanche play Detroit, and I'm sitting here watching Nate MacKinnon, and I cannot believe how good he is. He is just a player on a completely different level. He's like a Connor McDavid in the league. He is constantly going, whether it's a body check, whether it's forechecking or back checking, he's always playing at an insanely high speed. It's very, very impressive. Austin Matthews is more opportunistic. He doesn't necessarily drive the line, but it takes him no space on the ice at all to be able to get a shot off and score a goal. And he's the greatest goal scorer in the game currently right now. So you have to give it to him. Praise to him for scoring the winner, but the Sabres played pretty damn good hockey. They should be very pleased. But man, again, it just comes down to this is a winning league. This is about wins and losses, and we did not win again. So
what do we think of the Casey Mittelstadt trade, Colorado for Bowen Byram?
When I heard about this trade, I heard about it. I was just finishing a lunch with a friend of mine at the Bar Bill. Outside, I had met to someone that was on the staff at Bar Bill, and he walked up to me and he said, did you hear about the trade? And I said, no, I haven't heard about the trade. He goes, Casey Mittelstadt just got traded. I said, get out of here. He says, it just happened. And I said, well, thank you very much for letting me know that. And I said, what's your name? And he said, Anthony. I said, Anthony, thank you very much for letting know that. I'm going to give you a shout out on the show. And he said, hey, thank you very much. I listen to every single episode. So he's like, I walked away, drove away, and phoned you right away. And right away, your reaction to me was you were not pleased with this trade.
That's not true. Don't go putting words in my mouth.
Okay.
I said, what did I say to you? I said to you, I need time to think about this return. It doesn't sound like the return that I was expecting for a Casey.
Well, what were you expecting? Like, here's the thing.
I don't know. Not a one for one. And I'm not sitting here saying that he was worth more than one player, because Bowen Byram is a very elite player. If you go look at his stats this year and what he's done in the past, the kid's incredible.
He's the fourth overall pick, and he's 22 years old.
Incredible, incredible hockey player.
Did we need a top four defenseman?
We needed a top four defenseman.
Did we get a top four defenseman?
Oh, yeah, you got a top four defenseman.
We got a top four defenseman that's going to grow into a bigger role that has much higher upside than what he was showing in Colorado, because maybe he was sitting behind too many defensemen there. I think Bowen Byram is a player that's 22 years old, that was drafted fourth overall. He's an insanely, insanely good skater. And he's got the ability to move with the puck and distribute the puck up the ice. And listen, I mean, the Sabres have very clearly, the organization, Kevin Adams, Don Granato, they're not about, it's very clear that they're not looking to add big, tough, physical guys. They want speed. They want skill. They want transition. They want offense.
He has 20 points in 55 games this year.
Okay.
So I guess my question is, what's the difference between Byram and Power? What's the difference between Byram and Ryan Johnson?
Six inches
in height.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between Byram and Ryan Johnson?
He's a better skater, better okay. puck mover. Okay. I think he's a more dynamic elite player. But you're getting a player right now that, quite frankly, we don't know what we're getting, because he's too young to actually say. Like, do we know what we're getting out of Owen Power?
No.
Owen Power is what, 21, turning 22? And we don't know what we're getting out of him. I would think that Owen Power is going to be a much, much different player in 3-4 years from now. Much different player. I think Bowen Byram is in a situation where he's 22 years old. He's very young still. He's still continuing to work in his game, and he's got a hell of a package. That's why he was drafted fourth overall. So when I sit there and I go, you know, Casey Mittelstadt is 25 years old, and he's a, you know, 50, maybe 60 point hockey player. Bowen Byram's going to be a 30, 40 point guy all day long throughout his career, and maybe even higher. He's going to be a guy that's going to eat 22, 23 minutes a night all day long, because he's going to be skating circles around people.
I'm not disappointed in the trade. Okay. I want to make that clear. I just wasn't sure, you know, I guess I just had a different vision for what the trade was going to be, like Casey Mittelstadt and something for two pieces, or because, you know, just so you know, the team got younger.
Yeah.
Again, yeah. You know, you traded, you know, you're going to trade Oposo. Okay. So you're going to lose that age side of it. You're going to trade Gergensen's. So I guess I just wasn't sure with when I heard the return. I mean, obviously, I remember Bowen Byram, watching him in the playoffs. You know, he has concussion history, but I'm not bringing that up because the same was said about Crosby in 2011 or 12.
Absolutely.
So you can put that to rest. That's not the issue. You know, he's making $3.85 million. He's got another year left on his contract, so he's on a bridge deal. Do I sound like I'm upset about it or complaining about it? I think I just wanted something different, but I guess I didn't ever think that Bowen Byram would be available. Did you?
No, not at all.
You know what someone said to me tonight? They said, why did Colorado want to get rid of Bowen Byram?
Because they needed a second line center.
I understand that.
That was critical for them. They lost Nazem Kadri the year after they won the Stanley Cup. And then they took a little dip because they didn't have that guy. They lost Kempfer, okay? And they didn't replace the spot that they really needed. And that's that.
Do you
second
think Casey's
line center
ready to take on that role in Colorado?
Absolutely.
Okay.
100%.
I'm looking forward to seeing him play in the playoffs.
I think Casey's a hell of a hockey player. I think
I'm not
he's
saying he's not a hell of a
gone,
hockey player.
Gone through, a, he's gone through his line, development.
Being a second, third line center on a team that hasn't made the playoffs for 13 years, all of which you were on for, not all 13, of course, but your entirety of your time here. And now you're going to go play second line behind, you know, that big line in Colorado. That's going to be your job. That's a tough task, man. He's never played in the playoffs. That's a risky move for Colorado.
Listen, Colorado wins games because of that top line. They win games because of Devon Taves, Cale Makar, players like that in the back end that are super high end. But they have older players on this team in Colorado too. You know, they went and signed Zach Parise. Zach Parise is 38 years old. He's 38. Casey Mittelstadt's going to walk into a team where he's going to have zero pressure, and they're going to say, listen, Colorado has the most sunny days. Remember, oh, yeah, that's for you, Thomas. It has the most sunny days. Okay?
Most Sundays.
Not Sundays, sunny days, and Casey's going to love it there because he's going to be able to play with really good players, and he's going to have an opportunity to win hockey games and understand what that feels like.
How happy is Casey fucking Mittelstadt right now?
Oh, my God.
I couldn't stop thinking about that today. I'm just kind of like, I can't think of a guy in the NHL that, and it's, listen, I want to make something clear. It's not to get out of Buffalo. I believe Casey really liked playing here. This has nothing to do with the fan base or the city or where he lives or anything like that. It just has to do with the team's circumstance. Simple as that.
Do you think they're happy getting a 25-year-old second line center that can put 65 points or more behind the big boys? Do you think they're okay with that? It's Casey's in an incredible spot on that team. He's in an incredible spot. He's going to be in an environment. He's going to learn. Okay, he's going to learn from Nate MacKinnon. He's going to learn from Rantanen. He's going to learn from players like that, that are elite level players. He's going to get to look across at a young guy in Cale Makar and just watch how he prepares. Prepares on practice days, prepares on game days, watching what they do to be great. And that's knowledge. That's learning. Casey Mittelstadt's not had the ability to do that. He's had the ability to watch Jeff Skinner, okay? And a guy's many players on this roster that have not made the playoffs. There's a lot of players on this roster that don't know what it's like to be in the playoffs. They don't know what it's like to be on a 5-10 game winning streak. They don't know what it takes to win games. They don't, and because winning and losing in the National Hockey League is very fine. It's a very fine line. But those top end teams have the little extra gear. They have the little extra focus. They have the little extra, the system that they play it to a T. And Casey's going to be able to suck that in like a sponge.
He's going to be sucking he's gonna love his it first few days up there in Colorado, though, at the damn altitude. Right.
Yep.
But hey, how do you think Byram's feeling? Let's flip sides now, because here's a guy, Stanley Cup champ, came from, you know, a very top-tier organization and now getting traded to Buffalo. Somebody sent a picture saying, you know, obviously he has friends in Buffalo. There's a picture of him with Cousins and Krebs and maybe Jacob Bryson on his tippy toes down at the end. I don't know who it was. But already has friends in Buffalo. And, you know, my thought to that is, that's great. You have friends in Buffalo. It doesn't mean you want to play for the Sabres right now after winning a cup and everything and being from out West. And I'm not, it's not about the city or anything like that, or the fan base. It's simply.
So let me ask you this.
Circumstance of the team. Like you're. Now you got to come and wait to be successful again or wait to even come close.
Andrew, break it down. Break it down to what he's leaving behind. He's leaving a city that is an incredibly beautiful city. You have mountains there. You have blue skies. It's incredible. You have the number one defenseman in the National Hockey League playing on your team. You have arguably the number one player in the world in Nate MacKinnon skating around on your team each and every night. You have a team that is set up for success for many, many, many years to come, where they're going to be vying for Stanley Cups. Okay. So you look at away from the rink, you look at the rink, you look at the overall environment of being on that organization. And then all of a sudden say, you know, the GM comes in, Joe Sakic, says, hey, you know, I just wanted to let you know, I wanted to thank you for everything, but I've traded you. And Boehm says, okay, you know, where am I going? And Joe's like, you know, you know, you're really going to like it there. And where am I going, Joe? Where am I going? Well, I sent you to Buffalo. And then all of a sudden the friggin' paddles got to come out. Because you got to resuscitate him because his heart stopped. Talking about a team that's missed the playoffs for 13 years.
Oh, Colorado's going for Cup 2 in, what, over 3 years? Best team in the league, best two players in the world on their team, MacKinnon and Makar. Give me a break.
I think it's different when you're dealing with a 22-year-old, and I truly, honestly believe this. I think if this guy was 27 or older, I think would just be beside himself and would not want to come. Boehm Byram is a young hockey player. He wants to continue to prove himself and continue to get better. This is the youngest team in the National Hockey League here in Buffalo, and he is going to be a beautiful piece, a shining piece for many, many years to come in this environment here in Buffalo. And I think the guys, he's going to be able to relate to a lot of these players because everybody's his age. Like the entire team are all 22, 23, 24-year-old guys. So he's going to fit in exceptionally well as soon as he gets here. And if he has the right attitude, this is a beautiful, beautiful trade for Kevin Adams and the Buffalo Sabres, because there's not a lot of players in the league that right now are banging down the door to come to Buffalo. But if you can find players that are high end, like Boehm Byram is, that's a hell of a hockey player, I think you're going to be pretty,
Craig,
damn happy.
I'm sorry. I feel like the Sabres should have got a little more than Boehm Byram. I know he was fourth overall, but Casey's leading the team in scoring, and he's going to be a second line center.
He's leading the team in scoring on an average hockey team.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
This is the first year in his career that he's led a team in scoring in the NHL. So it's like, I don't sit here and look at Casey. Like, we traded Casey, and it's a good trade for both teams. Colorado needed a centerman. We needed a defenseman. Now, is Kevin Adams done? Is he sitting on his hands now? Is he, you know, popping the cork of the old rosé? No, he's still going to work. This team needs to continue to build and move out pieces. They're still at the point of you need to move out pieces and you need to think about what else you're going to bring in, because we need changes on this team. This is a good start. Now, to make me and maybe many, many others have a smile on our face, I think you need to start to look at maybe a player, a centerman that's going to play on your third line, that has the ability to have a little more grit and jam into their game, a little bit more leadership, someone that can be killing penalties. And I've talked about players before. I've heard Scott Laughton's name out there from Philadelphia. You know, Boone Jenner would be literally my pinnacle. But someone along that line, someone that is not a 22-year-old, 23-year-old, someone that's 30, that's playing at the top of their game, that's been in the league, that's been in the playoffs, that understands what it takes to win and has the maturity to help these young players round out their game. I think that's important. And I'm hoping that there's a player out there, a centerman out there that is on the radar that can be brought in.
There has to be something, right? There has to be more.
I know that they've tried Peyton Krebs, and I know that they maybe are looking to give him an opportunity to see if he could be a third line center and fit that role. And I'm not saying right now that I would shoot that out the window and say, no, I don't like this. I think Peyton Krebs has actually developed a style by playing on the fourth line the last couple years and gaining a little grit in his game and learning how to play that style, that he might be better suited to move into that third line position.
I like this move. I like this move with Krebs there, because Krebs and Mittelstadt are very similar players. Krebs is a setup guy. He can score, but he's a setup guy. I mean, you go back and look at his junior stats. His first year, 17 goals, 37 assists. Yep. Second year, 19 goals, 49 assists, 68 points. You know, next year he played 38 games. He had 12 goals, 48 assists. Like, he's a setup guy. Next year he had 13 goals, 30 assists, 43 points in 24 games. I mean, he's
not a goal scorer. He's not a goal scorer. Well, he's not going to score you a ton of goals, but he is going to make plays. I guess my thought, Petey, is Peyton Krebs an asset that we can use to go after someone that can maybe give us some more elder depth that is playing at the top of their game right now?
If you can find big wingers for him to play with, you don't need to.
Well, Zach Benson's not a big winger.
I would like to give this guy a chance.
Well, he's going to have a chance. He'll probably have a chance the rest of the season, which is what I mean. 20 games.
He's been patient. He's probably frustrated as hell. Probably wants more ice time.
He's a good kid.
Probably been waiting his
great attitude
his whole couple years that he's been here for this moment. Yeah,
Don said that. Don in an article or something said throughout the entire year, telling him, "Hey, this is about developing. This is about you're not a fourth line center, but you're learning things. You're going to get better, and you're going to take these things. And once you get an opportunity, you're going to be ready for it."
You know, the cliche, time will tell. So you have to give this one time and let it play out. But I'm looking forward to seeing Byron play in a Sabres uniform. He was a very hyped, highly touted prospect coming out of the Western League, but not nearly as highly touted as the lawyers at Salino Law. If you've been hurt in a car crash or need a personal injury attorney, call one of those highly touted attorneys at Salino Law. Don't wait. Call the 8s, 888-888-8888. Car crash? Call Salino.
You know what time of year it is? It's March Madness time, and I have two words for you. Hoops Hangout. Starting Thursday, March 21st through Sunday, March 24th and Saturday, April 6th, it's the College Basketball Tournament Watch Parties at Seneca Niagara.
Catch college basketball tournament action with your friends during March and April in your one-of-a-kind viewing area at Seneca Niagara. To reserve your spot, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close. I watched the game tonight, as did you. We did not speak like we usually do throughout a game. But I will say this.
Okay.
Sit here and I watch this team go into Toronto, watching the skill on the team, and I just see things from this hockey team that I think a lot of people see the same thing. A lot of stuff that we like. We play a hard-fought game. We get into overtime. And I know there's people that are going to listen to this segment, and they're going to know exactly where I'm going with this. I watched the Tux. I watched Tage Thompson. I watched Jeff Skinner get on the ice against Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, a guy that is literally one of the worst defensive players in the entire NHL. And you're going to put him on the ice basically the last shift of the game. You talk about bench management. What an absolute joke. What an absolute joke that, really? that Jeff Skinner's on the ice. He is not a 3-on-3 hockey player. Okay. He has zero. And I would love to be able to give him 1 out of 10 or a 2 out of 10. He has zero understanding what he's doing in the defensive zone. And I'm just so irritated because the team played so well and they played with passion and they played a very good hockey team at home. And I'm just like, you're going to end the game. You're going to end the game by putting Jeff Skinner on the ice, which is just like, as soon as he stepped on the ice, I'm like, oh my God, man, please, please blow the whistle and get him off the ice. And he wasn't on the ice longer than 20 seconds, 30 seconds in the pucks in the net. And you could put blame a little bit on Dylan Cousins when you break down the goal, but holy shit, man. Leading up to the goal, watching Jeff Skinner defend is absolutely embarrassing. And here's the thing. It kind of ruined it, it's like I get triggered so easily, okay? And sorry for going on this rant. And it's not even a rant. I'm just, holy shit balls, man. I'm sitting there watching this team, watching so many bright lights moving forward with this organization and this hockey team. And I'm going to tell you right now, Jeff Skinner's not one of them. And if Kevin Adams can't see that, then he should not be doing this job.
Yeah, but here's the thing. What can he do about it? We don't need to get into this. He can't move.
Bullshit what he can do about it.
Okay.
I don't give a shit. I'd rather have Jeff Skinner in the minors. Okay? And people might think I'm absolutely crazy.
Would you
buy
him
out? I'm going to tell you this.
Would you buy him out?
No, because I think there's an ability to move him. Okay? This is what I would do. I would move him. And I would move him at all costs. I don't care what you would have to give with him to get him out of here. But you are not going to win with him in your lineup. Making $9 million and having the lion's share of ice. Go put J.J. Paterka in his position. Let him learn. Go put Kulich. Bring Kulich up and play him in J.J. Paterka's situation.
Ralph Krueger might have been onto something.
I thought about that the other day. You mentioned that to me when we were talking about this, because I think Jeff Skinner would do very well on any team that he plays on, because he is a very talented hockey player. On this team, if Kevin Adams believes that he is going to win, even make the playoffs. Jeff Skinner's been in the league for 14 years. He hasn't made the playoffs.
Games okay. This year. He'll hit 1,000 games this year.
If Kevin Adams has won a Stanley Cup, he has been on a team and he understands what it takes, what you need in goal, what you need in the defense, what you need in your dynamic forwards, your checking forwards, he knows. And I'm going to tell you right now, Rod Brendamore got hired in Carolina. And it didn't take him longer than a year to ship Jeff Skinner off out of Carolina. He said, I do not want him. Get him out here. I don't care that he scores 30 goals a year. Until you move Jeff Skinner, we are not going anywhere. I'm going to tell you that right now. Ralph Krueger, you ask yourself, why did Ralph Krueger have such an issue with Jeff Skinner? Maybe we're the ones who are not seeing what Ralph Krueger sees. Very talented hockey player, but he is so one-dimensional that he hurts your hockey team. It's just my opinion. But I think I've been in this league long enough. I think I've been around a game long enough to be able to understand that you're not winning hockey games with him. You're not going to a playoff series with this guy and think that you're going to win. He can't even get to the playoffs.
Well, let's not go too far down. Let's not go too far down that path, because I know that if I let you go, man, it can we can go.
I talked about this. I talked about it for a long time.
It's not changing this year, Craig. So it's not something that we should even be worried about, because now we're just, you know, you're spinning your wheels. You're spinning your wheels. I just don't think he gives a shit. So with that, that'll do it for this edition of After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close.